The next case for oral argument today is number 073526, Rebecca Rudisell against the Commissioner of Social Security. Mr. Scholl.
Thank you. May please the court, I'm Joseph Scholl. I represent a Social Security disability claimant. So we have a change of pace here, a little bit different from criminal and immigration law. The main issue in this case is the opinion of the claimant's treating orthopedic surgeon. The treating orthopedic surgeon found that she was limited to lifting and carrying no more than 3 pounds. The result of this would be she would be found disabled if that is the case. The treating surgeon, there are many factors that are considered in determining the weight given the opinions of treating doctors, and a number of these favored this opinion. He treated her frequently over a 2-year period of time. He treated her there was one surgery and one surgical procedure about once every 2 months.
A surgical procedure once every 2 months?
No. He either saw her or performed. There was one major surgery,
right,
and one minor surgical,
right,
procedure, and the rest were office visits. And he gave an opinion on an issue directly related to his specialty, and that is what kind of weight can she lift, what kind of weight limitations does she need because of her fusion, to protect the fusion, to protect her from future injury. And he also was very positive, and he said it was totally clear that the pain she had was due to the fusion and instrumentation. Now, the ALJ, on the other hand, rejected this opinion, and essentially he found that he gave greater weight to the opinions of the state agency reviewing doctors on the opinion of the ability to lift and carry weight because he found that the surgeon changed his opinion based on her subjective complaints. So I'm going to explain this in detail to you. She had a very major surgery. She had scoliosis. She had a fusion. The fusion was from T8 to L4. That's most but not all of the thoracic spine and most of the lower spine. So this is a big surgery. She was in a body cast for 6 months after the surgery, which occurred in September of 2002, and it's going to be important here in a minute. And after that, she was wearing what was called a body glove afterwards, so she wasn't too mobile for some period of time. Initially, after the surgery, things went well for her, and the treatment notes reflect that. And the surgeon initially limited her to 10 pounds because she was having little or no pain, and then increased it in the spring of in 2003, increased it to a 15 pounds lifting and carrying. And this is consistent, relatively consistent with what the state agency doctors found. Now, let me explain the timing to you, okay? The state agency doctors review all the records, and it's done twice, okay? There's a review and a check. The first review was done, and the document was signed in June of 2003, August of 2003. At this point, all the records that came in from Dr. Ron, the surgeon, that indicated that she was doing fine, limited her to 15 pounds. The records would indicate that the state agency doctors did have those to review. I'm just going to point out one strange thing here, though. Apparently, they weren't aware that he had limited her to 15 pounds, approximately like they did. There's a box that they check indicating whether there's another another opinion, and they didn't check that. But at any rate, afterwards, in September of 2003, she came in and she reported that her pain was worse. Okay. And at that point, the doctor did an MRI that didn't show anything. They were looking for problems at the beginning and the end of the developing and the beginning and the end of the fusion. They did an X-ray, which they'd done several in the past, to see if the fusion was solid, and the fusion was still solid. And he sent her for an epidural shot, which is kind of in between conservative treatment and surgery. And the epidural helped a little bit, but not a lot. And he gave her some medicines. He gave her some Mobic, which is for inflammation. And all of that helped some, but not completely. And he concludes at the end that he's going to keep this 3-pound weight limit because he thinks it is necessary to protect her fusion and to protect her from future injury. Now, the state agency doctors do, another doctor does a second review. Okay, there's an initial denial, which we had, and that was the first opinion I talked about. And then there's reconsideration. And she filed reconsideration. She said, hey, my ability to lift and carry things is getting worse. My pain is worse. From what I can tell, they ordered the records from Dr. Ron, the updated records. At that point, they had the records only through June. In the first claim, it indicates that they received records from Dr. Ron in June of 2003. But they didn't receive any records for the second review. So the state agency doctors did not have the change in her condition. They didn't know that her condition changed. They didn't know all the additional evaluation and treatment that I just reviewed to you that had been done by Dr. Ron, nor did they know that he had changed her limitation from 15 pounds to 3 pounds. So all this is very significant. The ALJ is basing his opinion the state agency reviewing doctors, but these doctors did not have the new evidence. They were not aware of this.
The new evidence was inconclusive, wasn't it? Wasn't that the ALJ's whole point here, that there wasn't any clinical support changing her restrictions?
Yes, that was his whole point. But the thing you have to understand is there is going to be some kind of limitation on her ability to lift and carry, okay?
Right. The question is whether it's 15 pounds or 3 pounds.
Yeah. And if she's been in a body cast for 6 months, that would run her up to, the end of March of 2003. She's out of the body cast. She's in a body. So she's not very active for a while, okay? So she may not be having much pain. The doctor has to react to the symptoms. I mean, unless she said, to some extent, you've got to judge the subjective part of it. If she's saying there's no pain, okay, then there's no reason to change them. If there is some pain, then she has, then it has to be looked into, what's causing the pain. Now, just because the MRI didn't show anything new, that doesn't have to do with what the limitations in regard to the surgery, okay? That has to do whether there's a development above or below the fusion, whether, there's been, more problems above and below there. He says that the problem, and he says clearly the pain problem is with the fusion surgery, with the fusion itself, and the instrumentation, okay? And it's all I'm saying is, look, this guy's an expert, and presumably he's done every test possible, and, perhaps at this point it's just a clinical problem as to, whether you're deferring. You have to make, there has to be some medical judgment in here, okay? We know that they're going to have a limitation because of the fusion, and the doctor has to make some kind of decision on that. And it's what I'm saying is this guy is an expert, okay? He's an expert. This is within his purview. I mean, he checks people, and he's telling this person, you know, I don't want you lifting 15 pounds. I want you lifting 3 pounds because you're going, because there's too much possibility that there's going to be a problem. You're going to hurt yourself cause a problem with the fusion. And I mean, that's a judgment call, okay? And just because these other things were negative doesn't necessarily mean that he is basing it purely on subjective things. It's part subjective and based on subjective complaints, and it's part based on his knowledge as a surgeon who performs regularly. I mean, this is what the guy does, okay? He's not some general practitioner, okay, saying, well, you know, yeah, you only do 3 pounds. I mean, this is his business. He's got to make sure that she doesn't injure herself, she doesn't undertake lifting or carrying that which will impact it adversely on the fusion. And as all I'm saying is, the judge never ever went to another, you know, used another doctor, brought in a medical expert, never did anything but used his own lay knowledge. Now, I mean, yes, to some extent, I mean, you just can't make a blanket statement saying, well, the judge can't use his lay knowledge. You can't do that. I understand that. But the judge didn't explain what his understanding was.
Mr. Shaw.
Yes.
I'll have to ask you to wind up. Your time has expired.
I'm sorry. And the judge did not look into any medical testimony in regard to these records and opinion. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. We'll hear now from Mr. Martin.
Your Honor, John Martin for the commissioner. I do agree with Mr. Scholl's history of the case to some extent. One thing I think I disagree with is how long she was in a body cast, because he performed the surgery on September 30th, 02, and as of January 14th of 03, which is about, 3 months, he was saying that he wanted a 15-pound lifting limitation for her. So I find that a little contradictory, a 15-pound lifting limitation for somebody in a body cast. In any case, I do think the history is pretty much correct. Between the date of the surgery, which is late September 02, and May of 03, Dr. Ron, that's the name of the orthopedic surgeon, is pretty consistently saying this person is recovering well from the surgery. The fusion is very much intact. The scoliosis looks like it's being corrected. And I think she can lift up to 15 pounds. Then Dr. Ron does not see her over the summer of 03. Doesn't see her in June. He doesn't see her in July. He doesn't see her in August. The only thing that really happens in that interim is that she sees a consultative physician, Dr. Feliciano, who just reports pretty much what Dr. Ron has been reporting. So that when Dr. Sands, the reviewing physician, reviews the record in August of 03, really the only thing he's reviewing is Dr. Ron's reports. And so our position is that as of the time Dr. Sands reviewed the record, he is very consistent with Dr. Ron, the treating orthopedic surgeon. And now the point that Mr. Scholl is making about what happened in September when Dr. Ron sees her again is that Dr. Ron is very concerned about protecting this fusion. The district court, I think, dealt with that issue very well. And the district court said, this is the same doctor, this is the same expert, and this is the same fusion that Dr. Ron was talking about between January of 03 and May of 03, and he thought a 15-pound lifting limitation protected the surgery very well at that time. So why doesn't that same 15-pound lifting limitation apply in September of 03? And the answer to that question is, well, are there any objective tests, are there any clinical findings that would support a change in Dr. Ron's opinion? Because that's what happened here. Dr. Ron is very consistent, 15 pounds between January and May of 03, and then in September of 03, he changes it to 3 pounds. And the ALJ can legitimately ask, why did he change that? Well, it's not x-rays because when he first saw her on September 9th of 03, he reviewed x-rays and those x-rays were fine. He ordered an MRI, actually he ordered two MRIs, an MRI of her thoracic spine and an MRI of her lumbar spine. Dr. Janicek reviewed those. He said there's nothing in there that would support her complaints. Dr. Ron saw her again, and when Dr. Ron saw her again, and I think this is on October 25th of 03, a very important point he makes there is he says she is still having pain. However, her pain is much better than it was prior to the surgery. That point is very important because Ms. Rudisell was able to work up until the day of her surgery. So it stands to reason that if she's much improved after the surgery, she ought to be able to work as of October 03 when her treating physician is saying that she's much improved.
Unless there was any indication that steps had to be taken, preventative measures had to be taken to ensure that the surgery held, is there anything in the record that would support such a theory?
Just Dr. Ron's statements. And there I think I would go back to what I said before is it's the same fusion. It's the same fusion he thought could be protected by a 15-pound limitation in May. It's the same fusion in September. So there's really no statement. I mean, that's what I think is missing here. If Dr. Ron had really made a definitive statement as to why he changed his opinion. The other point I think that's missed here is that Mr. Schull talked about a 2-year period in this case. I really don't think it's a 2-year period in this case because you think she started, her onset date is September 27th, 02, the day she stopped working. She has the surgery 3 days later, and he's saying that what Dr. Ron thinks is causing the pain she's complaining about in September and October is the instrumentation and the fusion. Well, on October 25th, 2003, Dr. Ron took out the instrumentation, and Ms. Rudisell, after that, saw Dr. Ron's nurse and said, well, the swelling has gone down. And after that, there's no contact at all with Dr. Ron ever again. And from the hearing, which took place in 10—the ALJ referred to this in his decision. He says that in 10:05, which is 2 years after Dr. Ron is expressing this concern, Ms. Rudisell is being treated for some heart palpitations, and the ALJ referred to a chest x-ray from October 05, and he said all that says is previous scoliosis, which has been corrected. So if she's still bothered by pain, I think one would think that she would still continue to see the treating surgeon, Dr. Ron, but after he removed that instrumentation, she didn't see him again. So for those reasons, we ask that the court affirm the commissioner's decision in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Mr. Schull, your time had expired. I will give you another one minute if you have something that you would like to say.
Well, first of all, they didn't remove the instrumentation. He's got it wrong, okay? He's got it wrong. The instrumentation is very elaborate. What they removed is the EBI stimulator. What that is, the EBI stimulator is simply an implant to stimulate the growth of the bone. So that, you know, that's wrong, okay? Second of all, she testified at the first hearing, it's at TR-378, that she wore the body cast for 6 months, okay? And then after that, she went into the body glove. So that's not an inference. That's, you know, based on undisputed testimony. Okay, the business about not coming back. She was limiting herself to 3 pounds. I mean, if she's limiting, keeping herself within the limitations, then logically, then she shouldn't have a problem with pain. The question is, she had to go back to work, or she had to lift more than that, then there may be a problem. She did not, okay? And finally, I think the main thing in here is, I mean, this lady really never, this is a very sophisticated medical problem, and it deserves not just the lay opinion of the doctor. You have to remember that a lot of these tests aren't necessarily meant to show that there are problems with the fusion itself. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Schull. Our thanks to both counsel in the case. The case will be taken under advisement.